Hello and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev.
Don't know why I felt the need to sing.
No, I joined in a bit. I thought it was quite funky.
Perhaps it's because it was the last of the problems recently, and I would get very involved with that.
I don't like that.
You don't like it?
No. There's something about the pumping of the little flags and that. It all just smacks of a bit Little England to me. I don't
jingoism.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
Okay, do you not just like the music?
The music's okay. The
music's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's stirring. It's emotional.
And I don't like the bit where they play that one song and they all pretend to cry and pass handkerchiefs.
Oh, that
around.
Fucks me off. And I hate the bobbing. They do this bobbing up and down to one fucking, so that really pisses me off. Yeah, though that it's better if you don't see the people.
Yeah.
That's what I always think. So I tend to not watch it, but just have it on, but not.
Yeah,
actually.
I think that's what I meant. I think I enjoy the music. That's all lovely, but the pomp and ceremony that goes with it, the sort of arseholes that go to last night are the problems.
Yeah.
They're the people I have a problem with.
The people letting off a party popper at the wrong fucking moment. You fucking dick, you've ruined it. You've ruined it for everyone. I reckon the rest of them, if anyone lets off a party popper at the wrong moment, or a squeaker, whatever the fuck they use to make it, all that racket. There's enough racket going on. There's good racket happening. There's good music going on. We don't need all of that. The rest of them should wrestle that person to the ground and forcibly eject them so they miss the rest of the last night of the
problem. Here.
So, but anyway, that doesn't really explain why I sung.
No.
I've got a little dilemma. It's been stressing me out all morning.
What's going on?
I woke up to a text this morning from a number I don't know.
Interesting.
And it says, "Happy birthday!"
I mean, it is nearly your birthday.
I know, that it says, "Hope you have a good day!" Exclamation mark. Now, the thing is, it's a week early. My birthday is not for another 7 days.
Yeah.
I don't know the number. So I don't know what to do. This sort of stuff really stresses me out because I don't know whether to respond and say, "Well, it's very kind of you, but it's next week. By the way, I'm not sure who you are." Do I just ignore it because I don't know who it is, but then they might be offended that if they do know me that I haven't replied? If they're supposed to have sent it to someone else, there might be another row brewing between two people I don't know somewhere. So I don't know what to do. Well, I thought I'd ask you the best course of action here. What would you do in this situation?
Well, there is always the off chance that it's a scam as well.
Well, it could be, because I recently had that, you know, I recently had this really weird scam on Facebook. Did I tell you this?
No, you didn't tell me this. Go on.
I got a messenger message, which is the Facebook messenger thing, isn't it? From someone I sort of know. It's my friend's father-in-law, right? He lives in South Africa, but whenever he comes over, we always go out for a beer. I get on very well with him. Okay. And I got this message, went, "Hey, how are you?" And I thought it's very unlike him to send me a message. But I thought perhaps he's been out, he's had a few beers, he's seen me, we always get on. He just thought, "I'll send Trev a little message." So I just thought, "I'll respond, but I'll keep it very vague." I went, "Fine, hope all's well with you." And then I got a message back that went, that I just thought, I don't know this person that well, but there is no way he would have written this message.
Right.
"I'm doing good and extremely happy for my life. And I don't think you've heard about what happened to me recently." And I thought, there's absolutely no way that this guy, who I don't know particularly well, would send me that. If something extreme had happened to him, I would have heard through my friends, right?
Also, who that speaks English as a first language ever says, "I am very happy for my life"?
I know. So
that's not a thing.
So then I had this, I was racking my brain thinking, well, it's definitely not him, but how is this happening? And then I had this recollection that a few weeks before, I'd had a friend request from this person. And in the back of my mind, I thought, I'm sure I'm already friends with him, but all right, accepted. So I did a search. Turns out I did have two of these people. So his account had been cloned. And I looked it up. I looked up this sort of Facebook scam. And apparently this happens where you get a message. Normally it says something like, "But you won't believe the business opportunity that has recently been presented to you." So if I'd responded to this message, I probably, the next response from him would have been, well, I've just made a lot of money by investing in something or the other. So I stopped that one in its tracks. So this text message, I'm a little bit nervous about because it could be something similar.
I would suggest to you, if it's not someone, because obviously it's come up as just a number. So yes. It's not a contact you've got saved in your phone.
No.
The thing about the scam world is that they get you when you're vulnerable. So when things make sense, then you're more likely to fall for it.
Yes.
I.e. getting a birthday text quite close to your birthday. You might think, oh, that's a lot more plausible.
Yes.
But it's just, that is the definition of a scam. It's throwing the shit against the wall. Some of it will stick and it will stick on the people whose birthday it almost is or happens to be. I would say, and I'd be the first to admit, I'm a bit paranoid with these sort of things.
Yeah.
So I would say, err on the side of caution, ignore it.
Just ignore it.
Ignore it.
Right, I'm going to ignore it then.
And if they say, hey, why didn't you text back? And, you know, I've changed my number, Trev. I sent you a text. What? And you go, oh, it was you.
Yeah.
Then you can say, oh, listen to the podcast. It's Ben's fault.
Because remember a while back I had this when someone kept texting me and they were getting more and more irate that they weren't getting a response from this person. And I did eventually end up texting them back several times going, I don't think I'm the person you're looking for. And eventually I phoned them. And it was this sweet old lady who was just very confused about text numbers. And, you know, maybe this could be a little old lady who's trying to text her grandson. Perhaps they've had a slightly fractious relationship. She's reaching out to her grandson. She's sitting at home. She's going, oh, I think today I'm going to reach out to dear old Johnny because I ain't got long left. And I really want to make amends for all the things that have gone wrong in my life. I'm going to text her, but she's a bit hard of sight. Is that 07? Oh, that's good. I feel better now. Oh, I hope he responds. And then hours go by and she's hit the brandy. She's going, well, there's no point in going on anymore.
So, well, she just ends her own life.
Well, no, I'm not saying she's gonna, but she's fallen into a cycle of alcohol dependency, depression. I've basically destroyed the remaining few years on the planet.
I would suggest that if she'd made this life-altering decision to have one final effort with her little grandson,
She might have signed it off Nan or something.
Yeah, well, yes, that's a good point.
Much love, Nan.
And also, if she gave up after one text, then...
Well, she's a little old lady. She's not really tech savvy. Like, she's struggled with this. She's got an old, like, Nokia, I don't know, you know, from the 1990s. She's managed to... Oh, it's been in her drawer for years. Probably her grandson bought it for her before the fallout, before there was like some family issues. And she's dug it out of the drawer. She's like, oh, I don't really know how to work this. Oh, is it switched on? Yeah, I think it is now. I've got his number in a book somewhere. That's in another drawer. She's gone to that. And, oh, it's been a right old palaver, mate, getting her to text her grandson after all these years.
Well, okay. There is a chance to scam, in which case you are protecting yourself. And if a little old lady happens to take her own life as a result of this mistake, then so be it. If you're going to make an omelette, mate.
I'm not saying she's going to take her life. I'm just saying that she's going to fall into a deep pit of despair.
Yeah.
But you know, I won't know about that.
No, you won't.
Unless I get a text that just says, goodbye. Then I'll worry.
Yeah.
Then I'll have to phone the police, give the number, they'll have to trace it. I mean, it's going to be a whole palaver. I don't know whether they're going to get there in time.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to look up if there is any... it does seem that there are... there is a consensus here to ignore any sort of unsolicited text message, no matter how friendly. Oh,
okay. That's that sorted. I won't worry about it anymore.
Good.
I tell you what I am very excited about, though, Ben.
What's that?
I'm getting ready to go on holiday. I'm a bit D-mob happy.
Sounds nice. Where are you going? Or do you not want to give away your location?
I'm going to the Isle of Wight.
Oh, right. Okay.
So overseas.
Yes, technically, yeah.
I think it's 45 minutes across the Solent. It's a very dangerous shipping channel. All sorts of things could happen, but I've done it plenty of times before. It's a very safe route. I should be fine, Ben. If anything should happen to me, I just hope that you'll carry on the podcast without me.
Yeah, I promise. I'll try my best.
You have to find a new podcast co-host or just sample my voice from all the previous episodes and just sort of stitch together answers. You can sort of throw questions out and then edit together all the bits from previous things I've said.
that would be hard work, but I could make it work.
I saw this thing the other day that the technology is now pretty much there where computers can recreate your voice and actors are now beginning to get in on the act. They would still get paid because it's their voice being used, but they don't have to do anything because samples of their voice will be taken. Someone will type into the computer what they want that voice to say. It's getting to the point where the intonation, everything about the way the voice is spoken is correct. And that's going to be the future, isn't it?
So if, for example, somebody wanted to make an advert for a sponsor for a podcast, they could use my voice going, "Hello, Fresh."
Yes.
And that would be just taken, would it?
Yeah. I think they could type that into the system and use your voice. I don't know whether you might have to record some stuff for them to start with so they can sample your voice. I'm not quite sure how that bit works, but ultimately they'll be able to get your voice to say anything. But using computers, which is a bit dangerous. I mean, imagine if you're a politician.
Yeah, if you think about that, that's terrible because they could get me to, they could say, "Oh, have you heard what Ben Harmer said recently on the latest podcast?"
Did you? He left an old woman hanging on her own when she was in desperate need.
Well, no, I did say that.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, they could stitch together the most racist monologue and make it sound like I said it.
Yeah.
And I could be cancelled.
I know. That's the downside. With technology, it gives with one hand, takes with the other, doesn't it? I mean, look at that. We started with Twitter. Everyone thought, what a brilliant idea that is. Look at the cesspit it's become. That's the thing about technology. It's good and bad.
I mean, it is kind of good news because it means that if you were a really horrible racist and you went on some, diatribe of hate speech, then you could just say, "Oh, well, people could do anything with computers now. I didn't say that. It was somebody stitched my voice together and that's not me."
Yeah.
And even if they caught you on video now, you can do deep fakes of people. I know.
That's scary, isn't it? And that's where all this is heading. But yeah, it's a scary thing. So anyway, that's just to say that there are ways if I'm lost in the Solent that you can carry on without.
Okay. And if I am ever caught, telling you what I think about a certain ethnic minority in very aggressive terms, rest assured, it can't be me. Someone's faked it.
Right. Okay.
I'll
remember that.
that's that covered.
But I am excited about going on holiday because I haven't been on holiday for such a long time. And, I do enjoy just being somewhere different. And I'm lucky because I've been to a lot of lovely places, but the Isle of Wight is just it. It's a fabulous place. It's very quiet. It's relaxed. It's peaceful.
I'm glad you think that, but I'm not trying to be rude about the Isle of Wight. I don't know enough about it.
Have you ever been?
I have been to the Isle of Wight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Let's hear what you've got to say about it. I've been a lot of times.
I would just like to ask, and I mean this as politely as possible, is there anything to do with the Isle of Wight?
Lots to do. Lots
is there?
Lots of chilled out things to do. Lots of beaches, lots of sea. You just go and chill out by the sea. There's a thing I've never been.
But chilling out. No. I hate to pick you up on this.
Right.
But you can't define doing nothing as something to do.
Well, let me throw it back at you then. What would you like to do? Tell me what you would like to do and I'll tell you whether it's available or not, as far as I'm aware.
Okay. Is there a casino?
There's bound to be a casino on the Isle of Wight.
That's not a definitive yes or no.
Well, I'm looking it up. I'm going to look it up. Of course there'll be a casino on the Isle of Wight. Do you like to go and bet, really, when you're away?
No. Listen, I'm just taking you to task because when I said to you, what's there to do, you said, oh, there's a beach and you can go there and do nothing.
You go chill out.
Chill out. Yeah. Chilling out, which is doing nothing. So doing nothing isn't something to do. It's the opposite.
Okay. All right. As far as I'm aware, there's not a casino there.
I fucking knew it.
But you don't go to the Isle of Wight. It's not fucking Las Vegas.
Bound to be a casino on the Isle of Wight. No, there isn't.
You're not going to the Isle of Wight to gamble, are you?
No, somebody might.
No, if you wanted a gambling holiday, you wouldn't be going to the Isle of Wight, would you? If you want a gambling holiday, you go to Las Vegas or Blackpool.
Well, that's a fair point. But you said pick something that there might be to do. The first thing that came to my mind was a casino.
Right.
You said there's bound to be one. There isn't.
Well, as far as I can tell from Googling, there isn't. Right. Something else. Go on.
A theme park.
A theme park.
And I mean a good theme park, not some shitty kids carousel.
Well, so what, you're talking like an Alton Towers type?
Yeah.
Well, this Black Gang Chine, which is...
I've been there, I think.
Yeah, that's...
Very disappointing from memory.
It's like dinosaurs and things, isn't there?
Yeah, I went there for, with a primary school trip, and it was extremely disappointing.
But it is a theme park.
I wouldn't call it a theme park.
Well, there's rides you can go on, isn't there?
Are there?
Of course there are rides. There must be. I've never been.
Well, I'm telling you, I've been there, and I have very disappointing memories of it.
There's, I've just gone onto the official Isle of Wight tourism website, and there are a number of theme parks. There's the Needles Landmark attraction. I've been there quite a few times. I wouldn't necessarily say that's a theme park. There is a cable car, but that's about
there's
it.
A cable car.
Black Gang Chine, which I already mentioned. Robin Hill, that's 88 acres of rolling parkland and countryside to
explore. So grass! Grass!
There's Shankbin Seafront, that's got like a... I think
sea?
I think there's Crazy Gulf there, if you want it. Calbourne Watermill, that's got an old watermill that you can have a look at. So those are those are listed as attractions, not necessarily... Well, it is under theme parks on the...
It's not.
On the Isle of Wight website.
So sorry, you can't call an open field a theme park.
So there are theme parks there, Ben. So go on, another one.
I just don't think you've got it. Well, it's going to be perfect for you because you do like doing nothing, and that seems very appropriate for where
it's
you're
not doing nothing. I like getting being one with nature, looking at sea, enjoying the movement of the ocean. It's calming, Ben. Although I like it when it's a little bit rough, when there's a little bit of character to the sea. I like to see it crashing into rocks.
Does it get quite aggressive in the Isle of Wight with
course
the sea?
Of course it can. Any sea can be aggressive if the conditions are right. Got it.
Is it known for it, is what I'm asking, Trev?
Some areas, I'm sure it can be, yes.
God, you are turning into such the politician.
Right, go on, something else, throw something else out. Go on, we'll do one more of these.
One more, okay. I don't necessarily agree with them, but is there a zoo on the Isle of Wight?
A zoo on the Isle of Wight, again.
The Isle of Wight Zoo.
I would say the Isle of Wight...
Again, I'm not asking for your best guess. I want you to tell me.
There's Amazon World. Make your way through the island's very own Amazon and walk through jungle rainforest full of rare birds.
Birds.
Looks like there's a penguin there. It does look like there's lemurs. Lemurs are there. There's Butterfly World. That's there. You can step into the world of beautiful butterflies, Ben. And learn about their life from egg to pupa to adult butterfly. So you couldn't ask for much more than that. There's the Wild Heart Animal Sanctuary. That's, I think they've got like big cats there looking at the picture. There's actually tigers there, mate. There's
really?
Tigers at the Wild Heart Animal Sanctuary. There's Monkey Haven. There's Tapnell Farm Park. That looks like they've got guinea pigs, rabbits.
Guinea pigs.
Wallabies. They've got wallabies there. There's the Donkey Sanctuary in the Isle of Wight. I've been there. There's West Wight Alpacas, if that's your bag, the alpacas. So there's lots of things to do there.
Okay, so I'll give it that. The Isle of Wight does boast a large variety of animals. That's good.
When you've been away in the past, have you, do you go to wildlife things or animals you
think I have been, yeah.
You'd like to see? Where have you been? What's your favourite animal place you've been? And if you say SeaWorld.
I will say I have been to SeaWorld.
So have I, and it's awful really, isn't it?
Well, I went at an age when I was probably about 11, and to me it was kind of incredible, and I wasn't thinking...
It was incredible, but I did feel guilty afterwards for enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm at that age now where I can appreciate it's probably a terrible idea, and it's not nice. But at the time when I was 11, when I wasn't thinking the bigger picture, I loved it. It was great.
Yeah.
But that was a bit more innocent. It was kind of more of an appreciation for the animals, but without really thinking of the horrible prison in which they're kept, which I now appreciate. So I've been to that. I've been to some other zoos in America, which were kind of touristy and fun at the time, but again, not really in retrospect. So yeah, I've been to my fair share of zoos.
What's the closest you've been to like a dangerous animal?
Well, I suppose it depends what you think a dangerous animal is.
A lion. How close to a lion have you been?
Well, I mean, I've been at the stingray bit where you can stroke the stingrays.
Yeah, well, I mean, they can be very dangerous, a stingray.
Yeah, killed Steve Irwin.
Did, yeah. But not.
So there you go. There's a deadly animal that I've been face to face with.
When I went to South Africa, I went to one of the kind of game parks and you drive around. And it, I don't think it had the big five that they call them, isn't it? The lions. Is it rhinos? I can't remember all the big five, but just down the road from the game park, I mean, I did enjoy it. I saw hippos there. That was exciting. I could get out and go into this little hide area, and I stayed there for hours because I wanted to see them come out of the water and open their mouths big and wide. And I did eventually see that. That was exciting.
Can I say that is insanely dangerous? Do you know deadly a hippo is?
Yeah, yeah, but you know,
it would bite you in half without skipping a beat.
Well, they kill a lot of people.
You are insane.
They kill a lot of people every year, hippos.
Yes.
But this is a game park. It's all sort of quite well made for humans to go in. Like, this hide was there for humans to go and sit in. You know, I mean, if one was coming at you and you were walking from the hide to the car, you'd probably be in a bit of trouble.
But you said you got out of the car to go into this hide.
Yeah. But
you're insane.
But it's quite a distance from the edge of the sort of lake area where the hippo. Yeah, I felt very safe the whole thing. But what's really weird is you drive around this game park and like, you'd have thought that a giraffe wouldn't take you by surprise. But it managed to. I'm driving up this little dirt track, and suddenly, from nowhere, there's a giraffe in front of me. It was quite the most incredible thing.
Wow. Right?
But then I thought, well, I kind of want to see lions. And just up the road from the game park was a lion park. You buy your ticket at the office, and they say, right, drive down that track there, and you'll be met at the end by the keepers. So I drive down, and they say to me, okay, right, what we're going to do is we're going to open that gate there, drive into the holding pen, we'll close that gate behind you, then open the other gate, then you drive in, and then you'll be in with the lions. I'm thinking, you want me to drive in fucking with the lions? Hell. So I drive in. I'm in a hire car. So I'm thinking, well, that's fine if they fuck it up. So I go in, and there's loads of fucking lions. Loads of lions.
Shit. Was this like a special reinforced car with one of those roll cages and things?
No, I'm just in a hire car that I've hired for my holiday when I was in South Africa.
The hire company let you drive this into lion enclosures?
Well, I didn't tell them when I hired it. Oh, by the way, I'm planning to drive it. But they probably get that a lot in South Africa. They probably get tourists who are always going to go to safaris and game parks, right? So I drive in, and I was slightly nervous because there's a lot of lions. What they didn't tell me when I drove in was, as I arrived at the holding pen, there was another sort of Jeep thing there, and they were changing the tyre on this Jeep. They only told me when I came out that they were changing the tyre because one of the lions had ripped the tyre to shreds. Now, they probably don't tell you that when you drive in, because that's quite scary. But
yeah.
The most scary thing that happened to me was, because I'm driving around, it's quite kind of awe-inspiring because you're amongst these fucking big cats, and they're looking at you. They're eyeing you up, some of them. Some of them don't give a shit. They're just lounging about. Some of them, they're looking at you thinking, oh, there's dinner. And neatly in a can. It's like I'm canned food. And then one of them, I've stopped to take some photos, and one of them gets up its front legs on the boot of the car, looking in at me through the back windscreen. I mean, it was terrifying. And it was one of those things where, because the people who've let me in, they're watching, obviously. They're making sure that I'm safe.
Laughing. Yeah. look at the idiot.
I've paid my money to go in. And there's a bit of me thinking, how long do I stay in here? Because I'm not sure I want to be in here too long, but I don't want to just drive in, drive round one of the little loops and leave. I need to make it look like I'm not worried. So I think I stayed in for about 20 minutes in the end, but it was an amazing experience. Absolutely incredible, but scary.
Well, that sounds a lot more exciting than anything I'd ever done, but I mean, quite dangerous. I'd say mental, in fact.
But I don't think there's any lions on the Isle of Wight that are roaming free, so I'll be all right.
Oh, good.
while we're talking big, potentially dangerous animals, Ben.
Yeah.
Did you see this week, as it's that time of year, where the winners of the Ig Nobel Prizes have been awarded? Did you see one of the winners this year?
I didn't realise it was that time of year already.
Is it not in your calendar? Do you not?
No.
Pop up on your phone, a little reminder, Ig Nobel Prize winners announced today.
No, I don't know.
Well, one of the winners involved flying rhinos upside down under helicopters.
Flying rhinos upside down underneath helicopters.
Yes.
So the rhino is upside down, so its feet are connected with the base of the helicopter.
Well, it's on a, it's not right on the base of the helicopter, it's sort of on a winch. The
How on earth would a helicopter, which are famously perilous vehicles,
yeah,
support the weight of a rhino?
Well, they've obviously got helicopters that can do it. Now, the reason they did it is because they wanted to, because basically this is how they move rhinos, sort of in safari parks and stuff. If they want to move rhinos about, that's how they do it. So they wanted to see if hanging them upside down from a helicopter does them any harm.
Well, how are you going to land it? It's got to land on its back.
Well, I mean, it's winched down very gently, and presumably there are people below it with all the equipment necessary to, you know, release it. I'm guessing it's knocked out at this point as well.
Why not just use a truck?
They're big old animals, Mike. You've got to get the rhino into a truck. It's probably easier to knock the thing out and then winch it up.
I'm sorry, you're suggesting it's easier to helicopter, yes, a rhino upside down, yes, than it is to put it in the back of a lorry?
Well, you're not going to be able to corral a live rhino, in a wild one, into the back of a truck, are you?
You can still tranquilize it and put it in the back of a truck, though.
But you're still going to have to winch it. How are you going to get it into the back of a truck when it's, you know, these things weigh tons, don't they? So how are you going to get it into the truck? You're going to have to winch it still, get a crane or something.
Whenever I have to lift anything heavy in the house, really heavy.
Yeah. This will be very similar to lifting the rhino.
I get a big piece of cardboard and slide it underneath it. And then I sort of drag it so it doesn't scuff the carpet too much.
Right. So that's how you're thinking they're going to move a rhino. Just stick a bit of cardboard under it.
Yeah.
And roll it. Yeah, that'll work. Yeah. That's what they do, is they have to tranquilize the animal and they winch it. And they wanted to find out whether there was any issues with its heart and lung functions. It turns out they're fine. They can cope with it. They cope very well. But imagine being one of the test rhinos in that.
Well, imagine being the rhino who wakes up early from the anesthesia to realize that you're upside down flying through the air. That must be quite unique for a rhino.
I reckon they have to make sure they've tranquilized it, because you don't want a live, awake rhino sort of flailing about. That would probably be very dangerous for the helicopter, wouldn't it?
I think the whole thing sounds very dangerous for a helicopter. I'm surprised, like I keep saying, they don't just use a truck.
They hung 12 rhinos for 10 minutes each.
This sounds a bit cruel. Isn't this painful on their joints?
I don't think so. They seem to say there's no ineffect.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I forgot I was talking to the world-leading rhino expert, Trevor Smith.
I'm just saying that I've just told you that they've done the test to find out whether there's any problems, and they seem to cope very well with it.
Okay, so this won the prize, did it?
Won one of the prizes. Amongst one of the other prizes were, this was the ecology prize, when some people used genetic analysis to identify the different bacterias that live in wads of discarded chewing gum. What is the point of chewing gum for a start? The flavour's gone within instants, isn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't last long.
And you're stuck with this bit of fucking rubber in your mouth that you've then got to discard of gracefully. Most people around where I live don't discard of it gracefully, just gob it out on the floor.
I used to swallow it until they told me it was bad for you.
Is it bad for you, though, to swallow chewing gum? I know it's an old sort of myth, but is that...
Well, the urban legend says it stays in your system for 7 years.
I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't think it can be. There are places that ban chewing gum, I'm sure.
Singapore, I think, you're not allowed to have... or you certainly get fined if you spit it out, but I think you get done for dropping any litter there. Apparently, in generally, it isn't harmful if swallowed.
No.
What about bubble gum? Bubble gum must be about the biggest disappointment there's ever been.
Why?
Well, you get your bubble gum as a kid, and you think, oh, I'm going to blow massive bubbles. I could never blow huge bubbles. There'd always a little bubble would sort of appear and then pop instantaneously.
Well, I wonder if this is the bubble gum's fault, or is it down to your inability to blow a big bubble?
Well, I don't know. There's probably a technique probably a technique for blowing a decent bubble that I have never learned. I mean, I remember on Record Breakers. You remember Record Breakers?
Yeah, I'm familiar.
I'm sure they used to do a thing on there every now and again where it was like blowing the biggest bubble. And I used to watch that in awe. Just how are they blowing this thing like almost as big as their own head?
So you do know it's possible to blow big bubbles. It's just that you can't do it.
Yeah, but most people wouldn't have that ability. All you want as a kid is to be able to, you don't have to learn a technique, do you? This is bubble gum, pop it in, whoosh, like massive bubble burst, like all over your face. You got bits of bubble gum after it's burst. You know what I mean? That sort of thing. All I'd get was a little bit of bubble gum stuck to the bottom of my lip where a tiny little bubbles burst. Very disappointing.
I don't think you know how to do it properly, do you?
Then why aren't there instructions on the packet? That should be a thing they give
them. That's true.
When you buy bubble gum, it should say on the back, to achieve bubble greatness, follow these steps. And they should have like a little four-step picture guide into how to masticate properly, how to create the right consistency, where to place your tongue, how to blow correctly. That should all be explained to you in a very simple how-to guide, because bear in mind this is for kids, how to achieve bubble greatness.
So you want kids to know how to blow correctly?
Bubble gum. There was a peace prize given.
This
was for testing the hypothesis that humans evolved beards to protect themselves from punches to the face. I'd love to have done that, because presumably you're going to have to punch people in the face. This is basically a scientist who's gone fucking nuts and just, I've lost the plot. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to find a scientific reason to punch people in the face, particularly people with beards. Probably those, like, you know, what'd they call them? Who are those sorts of types? What are they called? Who run coffee shops? What's their name? What are they called?
Baristas?
No.
Like, what are you talking about?
Those people who have beards. What are they called? Like
hipsters.
Hipsters. That's like hipsters.
Like, I didn't know what the fuck you were talking about.
Baristas. Right, so you put an advert out, you know, scientists looking for hipsters for new scientific experiments, and you just get them in, you just punch them squarely in the face. They go, well, I mean, it's got to add a science, mate.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to add a certain level of padding, hasn't it?
Depends how big your beard is, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, if you were to punch Father Christmas, he probably wouldn't feed it, would he? I mean, that beard is like a cushion on the face.
Yeah, I don't really imagine a big beard really helping that much against a punch to the jaw. I mean, no.
If you're an older person, so let's say you're an old man with a big beard, right? Now, as you get older and your hair becomes, I suppose, it sort of becomes more firm, doesn't it, your hair as you get older?
I don't know. I mean, as I'm getting older, my hair is fucking off. It's just, I have alopecia at the moment and it's kicking my ass. I'm going smooth like an Olympic swimmer at the moment, yeah.
Are you?
Yeah. Well,
maybe that's God's way of telling you to take up Olympic swimming. But I reckon if you were to hit someone with a really big beard and they've got stiff bristles, would that hurt your hand? Would that affect your ability to deliver a decent punch? How many boxers have beards?
There's a small handful of boxers with beards, I think. By the way, if you are a boxer, I think Stiff Bristles would be an excellent walk-in name.
It's also my album title when I eventually Trev release it.
Stiff Bristles Smith.
Stiff Bristles, oh, here he comes, old Stiff Bristles. That could offer some level of protection, because it's a bit like a porcupine's spikes, you know, that you wouldn't attack a porcupine because you get a spike in the face. If you were to hit someone with stiff bristles, would that hurt your fist? Because think of the speed and the impact power against the bristles coming back at it.
But by the time the punch has landed, it's far too late to realize that you've got a hair in your fist.
Because you're going to be so close to impact at that point.
Yeah, so long story short, I don't think having a beard is much protection against a punch to the face.
Okay, right. Finally, the medicine prize. This went to scientists for demonstrating that orgasms can be as effective as decongestant medicines at improving nasal breathing.
So, is that because you're sort of enjoying yourself so much that you're sort of panting and that's clearing the airwaves?
I guess there must be some way of doing that, that you're clearing your tubes as you're panting about.
I'm worried that this was drawn up by maybe
this is just a
lonely pervert.
This is just a scientist who wanted a wank all day, isn't it?
Well, or more than that, who thought, well, I need some way of convincing my wife that even when she's not feeling very well, the best thing to do is have sex with me.
Right, yeah. Or it's a scientist who just wants to watch people orgasm all day. Put out an advert in the paper. I want hipsters to punch in the face.
Oh, and also, baristas.
And baristas who want to wank all day.
Trevor, I think before we finish the podcast today, I think we should stop to take a minute to recognise the amazing Emma Raducanu.
Did you watch it?
I did. I thought she was amazing.
Both players were amazing. I very rarely watch the US Open. I normally watch Wimbledon, but I don't really watch any other bits of the tennis.
I must admit, I did feel like a bit of a fraud. I thought, I've sort of intruded on tennis here because I'm not a big tennis fan. I'm like one of those people who, you know, when alcoholics the whole year round go to the pub and have the run of the place, and then New Year's Eve comes round, then all those people who never visit the pub rush in, and then the alcoholics can't even get to the bar.
Oh, so they're really angry.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you fair weather fans come in here on New Year's Eve. This is our place.
Yeah.
You only come here once a year. I felt a bit like that with the tennis. I was like, I feel like a bit of a fraud. I was enjoying it, but I felt like I shouldn't because it's not really my thing. I'm just here to sort of, I don't know, glory hunt, I suppose.
No, but isn't it good though? Because that's like, if you're not really into tennis, do you normally watch Wimbledon?
Never, ever.
I normally watch Wimbledon or as much as I can. I didn't watch so much this year, but maybe this is like your entry level into tennis and enjoying tennis. I remember when I first got into watching tennis in my teens, and it was Ivanisevic against Chris Bailey at Wimbledon, and it was like this intense match. I'd never really watched much tennis up to that point. And after that, it was like, wow, I didn't realize tennis could really bring out this level of excitement and tension. And then I sort of got really into the tennis, and then I kind of come away from it a little bit. And now my interest is Wimbledon. I keep an eye on what's happening elsewhere, but I don't really watch it. But yeah, this could be your entry level.
Oh, well, I think she's amazing and she's done so well. But I watched it on Amazon Prime. And I must say, the coverage on Amazon Prime was shite.
Was it? Well, I was watching on Channel 4, which was exactly the same. They were just showing the Amazon Prime feed. Well, when you say the coverage was shite, in what sense?
Yeah, I should clarify that. I mean, the game was fine. The picture quality was fine. That was all great. But they kept cutting to Tim Henman.
Yes.
And as he talked to the camera, his audio was on about a 5-second delay from his mouth, which was really winding me up. It was winding me up as about as much as why we're listening to Tim Henman in the first place. Mm. I mean, didn't he win precisely fucking nothing?
Well, he didn't win anything, but he...
So why are we cutting to him like he's the great sort of messiah of British tennis?
Well, she holds him up as an inspiration. So for her, he's very important, which is why he was on the touchline. Well, you know, let's just, he was a great player in his day. He didn't win anything, but.
So how was he a great player? Don't great players win?
But we all loved Tim, didn't we? We all loved Tim Henman. There's nothing you can dislike about Tim Henman just because he didn't win anything.
The other thing from the coverage was, not only was it, you know, every 5 seconds cutting to Tim Henman to tell us his opinion on audio lag that no one really cares about, it kept cutting to Virginia Wade, who, I mean, she had, of course, there's a very relevant reason she was there. She was the only British female to do it 44 years before.
Well, she won Wimbledon in 1977.
She didn't look very pleased to be there, did she?
I don't know. She looked happy at the end when she won.
There were a lot of people in the crowd who they kept cutting to who I thought didn't really look like I could give two shits
sound
if
like
they were there
really
or not.
Enjoyed watching this.
No, I did. I loved the sport. I just thought the audience didn't look like they cared if they were there or not. Virginia Wade looked like she'd rather be anywhere else. And who cares what Tim Henman, the loser, has to say about anything?
I did get
and if
really
you want to
cross.
Hear, I did get you really have to wait 5 minutes before his voice catches up with his mouth.
I did get really cross at the end because she just won. Incredible. And then they did cut to Tim Henman. And I didn't blame Tim Henman. But whoever the presenter was, she kept making it about Tim Henman. And she even said at one point, I'm sorry to keep making it about you, but you're trending on social media. And I was thinking, no one, he doesn't care he's trending on social media. And he had to, he come up with some answer that he was sort of half-heartedly giving. He's going, yeah, perhaps I need to get on social media. And I just think, like, talk about the woman who's just won. Talk about this girl who's just achieved the impossible. And this presenter, she was fucking annoying. I was really, that did anger me. I'll certainly admit it. But absolutely brilliant. It was an amazing sporting moment. And one of those things I'm glad I watched, and I'll remember it. I'll remember it for a long time.
I will. And long may she win even more. And she's got a fantastic career ahead of her. Mind you, she could probably pack up now and be set for the rest of her life.
$2.5 million. That'll dollars, do. I think it was. I don't think pounds, but dollars she won last night.
Can I just ask one thing of the tennis world?
Yeah.
No criticism of anyone, but can we think about changing the winning moment? You know, that final point where you slam the ball over the net, you get the winning point. Can we stop doing the dramatic fall to the floor?
Right.
It's a bit overplayed, don't you think?
Even though within the moment, that's all their emotions going to allow them to do. They're exhausted. They're going to fall to the ground.
I mean, I'm just saying it's not very original.
Right.
I mean,
so what would you want them to do? Like a little handstand, like a goal celebration, like in football, some ridiculous thing, put their shirt over the head.
They could run a lap around the court.
Yeah.
They could hurdle the net and go and, you know,
injure themselves,
laugh
and trip over. I mean, that's quite a high net to get over.
Point and laugh at the loser. That, you know, right. Just something a bit more original.
Okay, well, fair enough. I'd say one thing I did like. Did you see the bit where she walked up to her coach and stuff in the stands?
No. Yes, I did, yeah.
Yeah. Did you see the woman's security guard loving her job way too much?
Yeah.
Like, people on the stairways were wanting to get a picture of her, maybe give her a high five. She was just elbowing them out of the way. And her look on her face, she was like, I've lived my whole fucking life for this moment. She was loving it.
I know. She was a bit drunk on power, that woman, wasn't she? I must say, I felt a little bit bad for the opponent, the Canadian girl.
It's a long time to sit there, isn't it?
Well, not only that, but it kept cutting to her. And I must admit, she must have been devastated, but she did look like a really disappointed toddler, I thought. She had a face like a smacked ass.
Well, she's only a teenager, isn't she? I mean, she's, you know, it's going to be a harsh lesson. But did you hear her talk afterwards, though?
No, I missed it.
Incredible. Both of them, incredible young women. And they talk so amazingly well. They're obviously trained in media stuff, I guess, these days so well. But I just thought, God, like, you sound so grown up. If you were to have interviewed me at 18, I would have been such a dick.
I'd be a dick now. You interviewed me after I lost a Grand Slam. And Ben, how do you feel? How the fuck do you think I feel? I'm fucking pissed off.
So there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Before we go, I've got a couple of little recommendations for you this week.
Aha, go ahead.
One's a film called The Keeper, which was on BBC Two this week, so I'm assuming it will be available on iPlayer. And it's the story of the goalkeeper Bert Trautman, who was Manchester City's goalkeeper between 1949 and 1964. He was actually a prisoner of war over here, and after the war decided to stay here and started playing in goal for a little local team. And then when Manchester City signed him in 1949, it was all quite controversial because you're only talking 4 years after the war, and someone who was essentially a Nazi paratrooper has signed for Manchester City. So there was a massive uproar. But he eventually, over the years, won them over. He famously won the FA Cup whilst breaking his neck during the game and staying on. And he could have died.
Yeah, typical fucking British football fan, isn't it? Oh, Well, he used to be a Nazi, but he saves a few good shots, doesn't he? We love him.
But it's a really good film. Forgive
anything if you
it.
Could put the ball in the net, won't we?
Yeah, absolutely. it's a brilliant film. It's really heartwarming and lovely. And I didn't know much about him. I knew the name.
Oh, that lovely Nazi.
I knew the...
Pretty nice.
I knew the story of the broken neck. What I didn't understand is, like, whether they were showing, like, all the headlines, all the bad headlines about him, whether they were genuine headlines of the time or not, there was not one that came up with the headline Krautmann. I just thought that would have been the perfect head, because they're all shouting Kraut at him, and yet it was like City sign Nazi, and I just thought Krautmann would have been the best headline, but they didn't go with that. Anyway, he's hailed as a hero, a footballing legend, and it's a great film.
He's hailed as a hero.
So it's well worth a watch. And the other thing I'm going to recommend, this is a blind recommendation because I haven't got round to watching the first episode yet, but a brand new comedy with Greg Davis started this week called The Cleaner, and he's, as far as I'm aware, he's a cleaner who goes in and cleans up after grisly murders and all that sort of thing. So I haven't watched the first thing yet, but it's Greg Davis. It's got to be good.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder, and I don't mean it, I love Greg Davis as well, but I wonder if it's going to be basically Greg Davis in,
of course,
everything Greg Davis is ever in.
Of course it is. It's going to be Greg Davis that you've seen everything else, but this time mopping up blood. It's still going to be worth it. So there we are. So that's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget to get in touch with us anytime at Trev and Ben on Twitter. And we'll catch you again next week for episode 100. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.